What's going on, guys, and welcome in to the first episode of the spring for the Baseball Rundown with Coach Raz. I'm Ryan Lombardi, joined alongside Coach Raz. And Coach, how are we feeling? It's game week, first game of the season on Friday. Looking forward to it.
I'm hoping to see some sun. So it's been a long winter up here. In the past, we've been able to get outside a little bit, you know, maybe for a day or two. We've had some decent weather and the turf was cleared off, but this winter's been a long, cold, snow-filled winter. So excited to get down and hopefully see the sun pop out a little bit.
It has been. There's still snow on the ground here in St. Bonaventure, but at least you guys are heading south for your first game this week against Gardner-Webb. You'll be in North Carolina. Hopefully it's a little warmer there. No snow on the ground. But before we get into that matchup, let's just talk about this year. I mean, we've seen the transition this team has made since you have become the head coach, and you guys just keep getting better year by year. So what are the overall expectations going into this year?
Well, I think our expectations for ourselves are higher than other people's expectations, which is a good thing, right? You know, you see a lot of preseason polls come out and different, you know, organizations or different companies that project these standings and records and all that. And, you know, I get it. You know, we haven't had a ton of success the last 5-6 years, but, you know, I'm very confident in this group of guys that we have, and I'm very excited to go out and see them perform and when it matters. And, you know, I'll be interested to see how it all lays out when it's all said and done. But we feel, as a group, you know, we feel very confident.
And what's different about that confidence since previous years? Like, what are you so confident in?
I just think the talent overall. You know, I was saying to somebody last week, like, this doesn't happen where everybody performs up to their talent level, but if it did happen, like if every player that we have performed at the talent level they possess, I mean, I think we can win the Atlantic 10. You know, I'm really that confident in our talent. You know, and I don't know that I could have said that the last couple of years. It's been a building process to get to this point. I think we have depth. You know, I think if a guy goes down, I don't think it's necessarily going to wipe out our season, where in years past we've had an injury or two and it's hurt us and we just didn't have the depth to kind of back it up. So, you know, I'm excited about the talent of this roster. I'm excited about the depth and what we have to run out there.
So I think the biggest news right before we left for break, Mike Gunning transferred here for the spring. Just what does it mean to have him come here, especially being from Herkimer?
It's funny. The first day he came to practice, it felt weird, right? Seeing Mike kind of stroll in the way that he strolls. It honestly has been a very comfortable feeling. I think I've been a little surprised at how well the team has adapted to that and how willing they've been to accept him and make him a part of the team and feel like that so quickly. And he's pointed it out to me, you know, he said, it's been a lot of fun for him in a short amount of time. And at one point he said, he doesn't know if he's ever been on a team that's this nice. You know, everybody's just really good to him. And, you know, I think it speaks a lot to our culture and the things that we're trying to build here and our leadership, you know, Cam Demos and Morgan Little and Luke Roggenberg. I think, you know, their characters first class, you know, and I think that leadership, when you have that type of personality, you know, it spreads. And, you know, I think the team has really bought into being that welcome brotherhood that we want it to be and making people feel comfortable. So it's helped Mike a lot transition here, but obviously there's a comfort level with him and I. So, you know, I think that was easy for him to be able to come in and just, you know, get settled into what he's been with before, and the guys have made it.
I mean, just a little bit on Mike. I mean, he was part of your national championship squad. He, in that year, he batted 360, 40 RBIs, 10 homers. So what kind of power and versatility does he bring at the plate?
Well, he's a proven Division I power hitter. You know, that's great that he did that in JUCO, you know,
and he hit 16 home runs last year at the Division I level, so.
Right, which is, I think, the real test, right? Like, when you've done it at that level, and, You know, and it's not like he played in a bad conference. American East is a good conference, and he's not like he did it against bad competition because he hit two home runs against Wake Forest. So, you know, we know that he can do it. I think for us and even the guys on the team, they understand that Mike was the perfect fit for what we needed. It was the one kind of missing piece that we had in our lineup is to have that true power threat that could hit cleanup. And, you know, he's slotted right in there, and I think the whole – lineup feels good about it, and you know we're excited to see it all come together.
And you mentioned the leadership among the captains. I mean, just what do the captains mean to the squad, and how did that kind of selection process go for you?
Well, I think every coach talks about culture, right, and how they want to change the culture. A very smart man told me once, Jamie Shevchuk down at Keystone College, that players create culture. You know, not coaches, and I couldn't agree with them more. I think that the players develop the culture of the team because they're the ones that hang out together the most, right? And I think that our three captains that we have embody that culture. You know, they're good teammates. They'll do the chores themselves. You know, they don't just point to somebody to do things. I think that they do a really good job of leading us by example. They've been here. They want to see us do better as a program, and they're motivated to be a part of that. So, you know, leadership's great when you have, you know, good coaches, but you need players to back it up, and this group does.
Love that. I got to ask, Gunning or Little, who's going to have more home runs by the end of the year?
Whoa. You know, I think Mike will have more. I do. But I think you may see Morgan have a higher batting average. You know, I think Morgan's a little bit more disciplined. Mike's going to swing and miss a little bit. So I think it's a, you know, a healthy trade-off.
And now, I mean, with a hitter like Gunning, I mean, he can hit for power a lot, but you said he might swing and miss a little bit more. Where does he kind of fit in that lineup? Like, because with a big power hitter like him, is he like kind of your cleanup hitter? Do you move him to the two spot? Where do you see him landing?
He's exactly what you want in a cleanup spot. You know, he's going to provide that power threat in the four hole. And honestly, I feel like it slots all of our other players into the more natural position that they should be hitting at, right? Like, I think Morgan is a great five hole hitter, and that puts him in the five hole without maybe putting the pressure of him having to be the cleanup guy. I think David Marshall is our best pure hitter, you know, and moving him to the three hole is where he should be, you know. I think Jace Tharnish is the typical type of leadoff hitter that I look for, somebody that can run and hit for some power. I think Chris Holcraft is a patient hitter who will spray the ball and see a lot of pitches, gives Jace a chance to run if he gets on. So I think it just kind of slots everybody to their natural hitting spot. So it's huge. I mean, I really do feel like Mike was the missing piece for the lineup to have the balance that I was looking for.
And then even if, I mean, depending on where the lineup falls, but even just having him, it's going to be hard to get through a Holcraft, get through a Marshall if he's looming behind them.
Yeah, right. And that's something that we've talked about. You know, I know I've talked about it with Morgan that we don't have to have the same two or three guys produce in order for us to win. We've got guys 1 through 9 that can do that. You know, it doesn't have to be the 3-hole, 4-hole, 5-hole in order for us to win. I think that we have guys that can do damage up and down the lineup and can carry us for a game if they have a big game. You know, so that's exciting because it keeps the pressure off just one guy having to produce every time. You know, this lineup has talent and it can hurt you from the top or from the bottom.
All right, let's talk about the starting pitching. Have you named any official starters? I know obviously Mike Cellino will be that number one ace, but outside of him, what else is the rotation going to look like?
Yeah, I think we've settled in for the first weekend what we're going to do. You know, we're going to start off game one with James Capolupo. He's a guy that, you know, transferred over that has some experience in Division One, and you know, I think his mental makeup and his work ethic, a lot of those things that we value, he possesses. And I think he gives us an ideal first guy out type of pitcher, which can kind of take a little bit of that pressure off Mike of having to be the guy, having to be the ace, having to go win the first game. Having Mike pitch game two gives us kind of that safety net a little bit, right? We go win game one, we feel really good about the series because we got Michael pitching game two, right?
Selena Saturday.
Right. If we drop game one, I think we feel really good about our chances of evening up the series because we got Michael going.
Right.
So I think it gives us a really good mental advantage. Right now we're running David James out as our third guy, USC upstate transfer, tall, long, lanky, really good stuff on the mound. Very confident kid, wants to be a starter. I think he's kind of slotted in that third spot right now. Depending on how the weekend goes, I think we're kind of eyeing Chance Moore for the fourth start. But there's, the winter says a lot. And we had a couple seniors that have taken this winter seriously and spent time, getting better and doing the things that they were supposed to do. I tell you, last weekend, besides Michael and his natural ability, the things that he does on the mound, Gabe Watts was the best pitcher we had last weekend. I mean, he was absolutely sensational. I mean, it was in the zone, four-pitch mix, electric stuff. All the pitches were shaped the way we want them. And I give a lot of credit to Nate Cooge, our pitching coach. He's worked hard with Gabe on some pitching grips and some shape. Pitch shaping, and it's paid off, man. I'm actually really excited to get Gabe out there. And Gabe's somebody that we invested a lot of time in the last 2 years. We started him a ton as a sophomore my first year here, because we always believed in his talent. And last year it was a rough year for him, and I think he'll be the first one to tell you that it was a disappointing year for him. Even though he had moments, he pitched great at Binghamton for a start. He got the start against Penn State that we won. So he had some moments, but, the overall production wasn't there. So I'm glad to see Gabe take it seriously this winter and this fall and really work his tail off to go out on a high note. And he's a guy we're excited to run out there this weekend. Whenever it happens, he's going to get out there, and I'm excited to see what he'll do.
Yeah, you got a four-game series coming up against Gardner-Webb. Tell me a little about them, what you're seeing, and kind of the scouting report about that.
Well, Gardner-Webb, they're a southern school. They get a lot of transfers just because of where they're located, and it's a nice school. It reminds me a lot of the school I went to at Erskine. Small private school, the brick buildings. It's a nice spot, and they have a really nice facility, and their coach, he's been there a while. And I've known him when he was coaching the PSAC up here in Pennsylvania. So it's been good to kind of watch his career and where he's went. A good portion of that roster was recruited by a former player of mine. The pitching coach there is a kid that played for me at Herkimer. Unfortunately, we won't see Rob. Rob Hardy's his name, because he decided to take a job with the White Sox. So,
wow.
He left in December. He was there all fall and helped recruit that team. So I know they're going to be talented because Rob's a very talented coach, and he's a good recruiter. And, I think that he helped put them in a good spot for this year. And I know Rob was really confident about their squad and what the talent that they have. So, it's a tough challenge for us out of the gate. I mean, no question about it. They're a good program with really good transfers. Guy that's going to hit in their middle of their lineup is an Erskine transfer from my alma mater. So, big power guy, and we think it's going to be a tough challenge for us this weekend.
Yeah, before we talk too much about the schedule, I want to go back to you were talking about Gabe Watts. What other players, maybe heading into their senior year, have you seen kind of take that jump, or really any grade?
Well, Roggenberg's thrown harder than he's ever thrown. So,
and he's someone we saw come alive in the VCU series.
He was great last year, and we kind of need him to be that Swiss Army knife for us this year. You got to have an ace in your bullpen. You got to have a guy that you can rely on, and I think he's the perfect guy for that. He can go throw for 4 or 5 innings out of the bullpen. He could close for 1 inning. We know he's going to pound the strike zone. We know he's going to throw 5 to 6 pitches for a strike. And the stuff's there. He's competitive, fields his position really well. He might be the best athlete on the team, especially on the pitching staff. So we feel a lot of confidence about what he gives us. Chance Moore's worked his tail off. He's really worked hard as a senior. Cade Walker, another guy that's worked hard. You know, we need those guys to be successful. We need them to take a jump from where they were last year. They had success last year. We just need them to take that next step. And if they do that, along with the guys that we brought in, you know, we'll feel good about our pitching staff.
Love that. Do we have a starting lineup? Can we get the inside scoop yet, or do we have to wait till Friday?
No, we're they're going to start a right-handed pitcher the first game. We do have some weather down there. So Friday's already turned into a doubleheader instead of the Saturday games being a doubleheader. We're going to end up playing our first day a 7-inning and a 9-inning game. So the first game is against a right-handed pitcher. And we have a lineup that we feel pretty good about against a right-handed pitcher, and then we have a lineup that we feel pretty good about against a left-handed pitcher to start the season off. But against the righty, Jace will play center and he'll hit leadoff. Holcraft will play short. He'll hit second. David Marshall will hit third. He'll play second. Mike Gunning will DH the first game and hit cleanup. Morgan Little will play first base, hit the five hole. Antonio Cordero will bat six and be our starting catcher. The seven hole is going to go to Harrison Kaufman. He's third baseman that was here for us last year. He's looked phenomenal this winter, covering so much ground over at third base and showing some quick hands at the plate. He could be a real sleeper for us this year. The eight hole is going to go to Connor Vercoloni. He'll be in right field. And then the nine hole will be Paul Boston, who will be in left field. Paul hit leadoff for us last year, so yeah. It's like having another leadoff hitter on there. So that's how we'll start it.
And Boston's coming off an injury, right? So has he made a jump at all, and has he recovered okay?
Yeah, I mean, it's been some time now. You know, I don't think he was 100% in the fall, but he's looked good in the cage, and he's a tough out when he's at the plate, and he provides us some speed. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how the first couple of bats go and how he looks and how he feels. And, you know, based off the matchups, we can make some adjustments. We have some depth in the outfield. Hopefully he's healthy and can give us a go and provide us a little spark down there, but we're excited about it.
And then I got to imagine game two, Carruthers will get the start behind the dish.
I don't know.
Okay.
He'll definitely get a start this weekend. I just think with Michael starting game two, we might start Antonio.
Just because he's
been there, and he's been there with Mike. And the first game's only 7 innings, so we feel like he could catch, at least start the second game with Michael on the mound, and we'll kind of see how the game goes. But Brian's a freshman, and he's somebody that we're definitely going to invest time in, and he'll get a start this weekend. It just might not be game one or the beginning of game two.
Gotcha. Yeah. We've covered that. Let's talk about – I don't want to get too far in because we'll record another episode, but you did not hold back during scheduling this year. You were not afraid to go play some of the best of the best, and in which a game against Vanderbilt in a series against Tennessee.
Yeah, that's down the road. That's during our spring break, and we've got about 11 games we play before that happens. So we'll have a good chance to kind of see who we are and have a better feeling going into those games about, you know, what we're going to do. But yeah, I think anytime you can create an experience for your guys that they're going to remember, you know, a memorable moment, you want to try to do that. I think going down there, and I think they're sold out already at Tennessee. So, to play in that type of atmosphere, those are things these guys are never going to forget, no matter what the outcome is.
Right.
To go down there and play the defending national champions is just going to be a great experience for them. And honestly, for myself too, I'm excited about just to be able to coach in that type of atmosphere. So,
yeah, you guys are spending the entirety of spring break down in Tennessee, and I mean, you guys got some other games throughout the week down there. And what kind of those games What do those games mean to you guys as well? Dominion, Middle Tennessee, and UT Martin.
Well, we're pretty comfortable with Murfreesboro right now. We spend a lot of time at Middle Tennessee. We only got them for one game because we're playing a little tournament there. But that'll be our hub. That's where we'll play some of those other guys. Again, it's a little bit down the road, so we'll see. These rosters turn over so much now with the portal. You know, we'll kind of see how these first couple weeks go and have a better idea of the scouting reports once games start to get played here a little bit.
Right. And then just something to note, I mean, you guys go almost a month and a half before even having a home game. What does that first home game mean coming back and playing at St. Bonaventure?
Relief. Relief for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I think I was looking at Tennessee's schedule release, and out of their 56 games, I think, I don't know, it was crazy, like 48 or no, like 38 or 40 were home. You know, I think they were on the road like 18 times.
All for SEC play.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's difficult for us northern teams to kind of go on the road as much as we do. Because obviously you're an advantage at home. You know, even last year, we were above 500 at home, you know. But on the road, not so much. So, you know, it's tough. It's a difficult thing, but it's just who we are. And that's the Northeast grind that we live. And, you know, you can't focus too much on that. At the end of the day, you're on a baseball field and you just got to go play. But it's, you know, it's a lot of travel. I think that's why we do a good job of not having too many midweek games early in the year. You know, we don't really have a midweek game until we're on our spring break. And then when we come back, it's fairly local, you know, Binghamton, Canisius, Niagara. We do go to Penn State too. So those games are relatively close. So we're not traveling far during the midweeks, but you know, those first two or three series, we like to kind of cut out the midweek games just because we're on the road so much. But, you know, we're ready for it. I think guys have been here and, you know what's ahead of them.
Yeah. All right, Coach, any final thoughts heading into this weekend against Gardner-Webb?
No, I'm excited to see this team get on the field and play. You know, it's a process, and I know the excitement's out there, but at the end of the day, you know, it's all about the Atlantic 10 play, and I think we're trying to prepare this team for Atlantic 10 play and try to make some noise in the conference standings and, you know, get to that playoff spot. But I think, you know, this schedule will prepare us. You know, we have some tough teams on it that will help us get ready for that conference slate ahead of us. And, you know, really, really excited to kind of see how this season unfolds.
Yeah. Well, Coach, appreciate the time. Best of luck this weekend. This was the Baseball Rundown with Coach Raz, brought to you by the Bonnies Online Network. We'll see you guys next time. Go Bonnies.